My Apple Tree, My Brightness by Tricky Bonmot, a The Untamed fanfiction, rated explicit. Summary. Wang Ji knows that what he is doing is not good for him, that to relive his errors over and over again is not the intended use of his time during seclusion. But he wants to know, he needs to know, if he could have changed the course of events, if he could have saved Wei Ying somehow. Lan Zhan, let me go. Wei Ying's weight dragging at him, hand slippery with blood, Wang Ji's eyes burning, his heart imploding. Zhang Wanyin beside him, and then, Wei Ying! Simulation terminated. Wang Ji crashes back into the present, heart pounding, skin prickling with sweat, his hoarse cry still echoing from the plain steel walls of his cell. His hands are twitching, grasping at nothing. The meditation posture feels wrong, confining, even as his implants work to rapidly clear the excess adrenaline of the battlefield memory. He forces his hands to relax. He breathes. This is the nature of his seclusion. He's meant to reflect. His room is bare. His food is delivered as a nutrient drip. His neural lace is disconnected from the wider net, confining his life to his own mind. But, thanks to his cultivation level and the Lan Sect's historical openness to cutting-edge intellectual augmentations, his mind is a powerful thing. In addition to wetware-adjacent processing capacity that is probably unmatched in the cultivation world, his data stores are remarkably deep and broad. He has petabytes of information saved from the war, detailed dossiers on all of the key players in the Sunshot campaign, tactical records spanning years, top-secret reports from embedded agents. He has his memories, eidetically recorded, full of more information than he could ever process consciously. He has an unexamined chunk of memory data from his brother. Most precious of all, he has a mind state capture of Wei Ying, transmitted to him in a fleeting moment of trust between them, a moment when it seemed he might be willing to accept Wang Ji's help. It's low definition, only a terabyte or so, almost more gap than substance, like a lacy paper cutting. All of it went into the simulation. Wang Ji knows that what he is doing is not good for him, that to relive his errors over and over again is not the intended use of his time during seclusion. But he wants to know, he needs to know, if he could have changed the course of events, if he could have saved Wei Ying somehow. So, over the first week, he carefully constructed his test apparatus, programming a world within his mind. He started with the base engine for simulated experience. People normally use the sim capabilities of their neural lace for pleasure, simulating grand adventures or scenic trips or mind-blowing sexual experiences. Programming the inputs for a new simulation is a standard junior-level exercise. What Wang Ji is doing is simply an extension of the ordinary use case. He plans each test run carefully. The Wang Ji inside the simulation must have no knowledge of the future, so he must decide ahead of time which scenario each simulation will test, what action will be different, so that he can program his simulated self to change the course of events. It's a delicate thing, of course, to sort out the things he could have controlled, his actions, his words, from the things that he could not, his feelings. Perhaps in the moment, he really could not have done differently than he did. But, for the sake of the simulation, He will see what could have happened had he been a better person, done better things. Each simulation ends when Wang Ji learns of Wei Ying's death. Each time, it feels like waking from a long, strange, terrible dream, waking with claws of grief and horror sunk deep in his chest. But the real time elapsed during each simulation is actually brief, a matter of minutes to hours. Each time, he sits and meditates for as long as it takes to calm his body and mind. Then he combs through the dream memories, comparing each run with the previous ones, analyzing outcomes. He searches for inflection points, chooses another moment to change. Simulation initiating. The Jiang disciples arrive at the ancient gate of the Cloud Recesses, the Lan sect's ancestral stronghold on Terra. Wang Ji has already tried changing his behavior in this moment, overruling the gate guard to let them inside instead of stickling over their invitation. The outcome was unbearable. A Wei Ying who never snuck in with wine, never fought Wang Ji in the moonlight, never saw him as anything more than another stuffy Lan, and never caught Wang Ji's attention either, as anything more than a swaggering rule-breaker. He sacrificed himself in the Xuanmu cave so that the others could escape, Wang Ji included. He wasn't even with the party that found the body. When the simulation ended, he wept. They fight to a draw on the rooftops. This, too, he has tried changing. What if he had let Wei Ying win? What if he had been able to beat him? In both cases, the outcome colored their interactions for the remainder of the guest discipleship, and again, the thing between them never caught hold, never became important. Wei Ying still died in the cave. Next, the library pavilion. He could reduce the conflict between them. He could convince his uncle to put someone else in charge of Wei Ying's punishment. He could let Wei Ying talk and talk at him, refrain from using the silencing spell. Give back the dirty book instead of destroying it. Tackle Wei Ying instead of drawing Bi Chen. Scatter ink and brushes and paper and climb into his lap and kiss him. Wei Ying surprised and scared, not understanding. The drinking party. Wang Ji could ignore it, could join it, could report it before Wei Ying makes him drink, could drink more, could keep it to himself so nobody gets punished. But it's nothing and nothing and nothing again. Wei Ying dies in the cave, or at Chunqi Waypoint, or in the Bone Belt, or on Nightless, or in places and times when Wang Ji was never with him, or sometimes shockingly early, once in the Cold Pond Cave on Terra. Wei Ying dies and dies and dies, no matter what Wang Ji does or does not do. Many days of his seclusion pass this way. Simulation terminated. Simulation initiating.
I have the strangest feeling.
They're in the library pavilion. The tone isn't disrespectful, so Wang Ji looks up from his calligraphy practice, to where the disgraced Wei Wuxian is meant to be copying the Lan precepts by hand, with ink and paper. The boy is still holding his antique-style brush and the small analog codex he's been copying from, but he's staring into the middle distance. Wang Ji acknowledges. Barely.
This all feels too familiar, Wu Wuxian says.
Wang Ji watches him a moment longer, incurious, then goes back to his carefully scribed column of characters. He enjoys the traditional arts himself, but he knows the Jiang sect doesn't emphasize them. Wu Wuxian huffs out a sigh, then goes back to his work. Later, when Wang Ji is reading, Wei Wuxian stands and gives Wang Ji something. A picture, worked in flowing lines of ink, of himself as he looks now, except with a rabbit cradled in his free hand. Much later, at Jinlin Tai, Wang Ji speaks up for Wei Ying, surprising himself, his brother, everyone. When sect leader Yao implies their friendship has made him blind to Wei Ying's crimes, he has a perfect comeback, one that silences the room. Mian Mian supports him, and Jin Zixuan takes her side. Jin Guangshan is forced to back down from his provocation of sect leader Zhang. But in the end, it makes little difference. Wei Ying still dies.
Simulation terminated.
Wang Ji blinks, waiting for the emotional jolt to drain away. It still hurts like this, every time. Hurts hard for a minute or more until his system clears, and then goes back to the same dull, customary ache of reality. There was something about that one. As usual, he checks the diffs of the sim against his memory, and there it is.
This all feels too familiar.
Wei Ying never said that, in reality. He said it in the sim before Wang Ji changed anything. And then, the rabbit. Wei Ying hadn't known, yet, that he liked rabbits. Wang Ji checks parameters, tests his systems. Nothing seems amiss. He decides to run the same thing again for debugging purposes. This time, he sets it to end when Wei Ying leaves the library pavilion.
Simulation initiating.
Oh no, Wei Ying says. They're in the library pavilion. His tone is genuinely distressed, so Wang Ji looks up from his calligraphy practice to where the disgraced Wei Wuxian is meant to be copying the Lan precepts by hand, with ink and paper. The boy is still holding his antique-style brush and the small analog codex he's been copying from, but he's peering anxiously up at Wang Ji.
Something weird is happening, he says.
Weird how? Says Wang Ji.
I don't know, says Wei Wuxian. Like I've been here before.
Wang Ji watches him a moment longer, incurious, then goes back to his carefully scribed column of characters. He enjoys the traditional arts himself, but he knows the Jiang sect doesn't emphasize them. Wei Wuxian huffs out a sigh, then goes back to his work. Later, when Wang Ji is reading, Wei Wuxian stands and gives Wang Ji something. A picture, worked in flowing lines of ink, of himself as he looks now, except with a pair of ears like a rabbit. Trying to ignore the little spark of something that he feels at the sight of it, he sets the picture gingerly aside. But when he opens his book again, they fight. Shreds of paper fill the air. He sends Wei Ying away.
Simulation terminated.
For once, there isn't any pain on waking, but a different set of emotions. The embarrassment and anger and uncertainty that had coursed through him at Wei Ying's provocations. How young he had been. And Wei Ying, too. Hardly more than a child, yet unaware of the hard paths destiny had set them. Now, older, in his gray cell, a peculiar feeling steals over him, of wishing to comfort his younger self. There was so much he didn't know back then, about the world, about himself. Wang Ji pities him. But indulging in self-pity is forbidden. As if that isn't what he's been doing for weeks now. He must decide what to do next. Perhaps there's something corrupted somewhere. Maybe it's something about that memory in particular. With luck, the rest will still be sound. He lets the simulation continue from where it halted.
Simulation resuming.
It's still the same one, where he speaks out to Jin Lin Tai. As before, it makes little difference. Sometime later, a small child takes hold of his leg in the atrium of Yiling Station, and then Wei Ying is there, looking thin and hollow, but smiling, joking, and Wang Ji's chest tightens at the sight of him. He buys toys for the child, because Wei Ying's son, of all children, should be happy, should be spoiled. Then they all sit down to eat together, and for a moment the world narrows to the three of them, young Wang Ji and beautiful Wei Ying and funny, sweet Ayuan. Wei Ying gazes fondly at Ayuan sitting on Wang Ji's lap, but between one bite and the next, his expression turns haunted, and he stares at them with a look of such devastation that Wang Ji reaches for his hand.
Wei Ying, are you all right?
I, says Wei Ying, and then cuts off as though lanced by a sudden pain. He grips Wang Ji's hand hard. Is he all right, Lanjian? Did they find him?
Wang Ji glances at the child, who was watching Wei Ying with curiosity more than distress. Perhaps this is not the first time he has witnessed Wei Ying in a less than stable frame of mind.
He is fine, he says, as sincerely as he can. Wei Ying nods, blinks hard, nods again, goes back to eating. Later, Wei Ying dies.
Simulation terminated.
The grief and horror wash through him as always, and he begins the analysis. It was strange. And definitely not only the library pavilion, and not only that dinner on Yiling, but other things. Tiny differences in Wei Ying's gestures, his glances, his words. Wen Yuan is safe. Wang Ji's sensors detected his faint life signs in the ruins of the orbiting hab that Wei Ying and the Wen refugees had cobbled together from junk in the bone belt. He found the boy in a defunct medical pod, so battered that it looked like nothing more than junk itself, running low on oxygen and barely keeping him alive. When Lan Shiren arrived to confront him, Wang Ji drew Bi Chen against him, and it was only the knowledge of how much destruction a rogue Hung Wan Jun could wreak that forced him to back down and to declare the child a protected non-combatant. In return, Wang Ji agreed to submit to this punishment. When he emerges, the boy will be in his care. Wang Ji meditates for a long while this time. The decisions he must make demand utmost clarity of mind. Then he thinks for a long time, and decides to run a clean simulation, with nothing changed from the original.
Simulation initiating.
Hey, what the fuck?
Yells Wei Wuxian, throwing down his brush and leaping to his feet. Wang Ji looks up from his calligraphy, anger tightening his brow.
I'm sorry, Wei Wuxian says, bowing before Wang Ji can admonish him. Sorry for my foul language. I'm not causing trouble. I just keep having the strangest feeling. Ever since we came up the mountain, like all this has happened before.
Wang Ji can only stare at him. Wei Wuxian stalks back and forth across the floor in front of his writing desk.
It began from the first moment I saw you. Isn't that strange? Everything you do, I think you've done it before. Everything I say, I think I've said it before. I even think I've thought before that everything has happened before, like it's a loop. Sometimes I think I can even see the future,
like I remember what's going to happen. Ha! How could that be? So the boy is not only a heretical thinker, but a dangerous lunatic as well. Don't look at me like that, he pleads. Not you. Wang Ji can't imagine how else he might look at him. He sets down his brush carefully.
I need to speak to my uncle.
No, don't do that, says Wei Wuxian, looking genuinely panicked. Forget it, okay? Forget it. Never mind. I'll do the writing. See? I'm sitting down. Forget it, please. He settles at his desk again with a gusty sigh and picks up his brush from where it rolled off to the side, staining the table with ink. He wipes at the mess with the heel of his hand, hissing with annoyance, then sighs again and resumes his writing. Wang Ji watches him uncertainly for several minutes more before resuming his own work. Later, Wei Wuxian gives him a drawing of a hideous alien monster, three-eyed, long-necked, and armored like a turtle. Two tiny figures, one light-robed and one dark, stand before it in an attitude of combat, though they have no swords or guns. It's very strange, but the boy has completed his punishment, so Wang Ji takes the picture without comment. Wei Wuxian bows to him with a strange expression before taking his leave. Much later, in the cave of the monster Xuanwu, Wang Ji feels a jolt of recognition. From then on, he does wonder if Wei Ying somehow knows things, but the time never seems right to ask him about it. And then he dies, and Wang Ji thinks, if knowledge of the future couldn't save him, then what could?
Simulation terminated.
There are wet traces down Wang Ji's cheeks when he comes back to the present. His body is exhausted with grief. He wants a drink of water. He wants to hold someone. He wants, inexplicably, the child, who must by now be well and learning the shape of his new life among strangers. When he is calm enough, he goes over the results of the simulation. It's strange. So terribly strange. Wei Ying's mind state was recorded after the end of the Sunshot campaign. The Wei Ying of the Cloud Recesses Library Pavilion should have had no knowledge of the Xuanwu of Slaughter. Clearly, the mind state has been corrupted. Wang Ji checks the image, and, indeed, it has changed from the original. In fact, it has grown significantly, the holes filled in with intricate logic, the borders expanded. It shouldn't be possible. Perhaps he should cease his experiments. If the data is corrupted, they are meaningless anyway. The whole point was to discover what he could have done to save Wei Ying. He could attempt to revert to the original image, but one look tells him it's hopeless. Old data and new so seamlessly intertwined that he can't possibly sort them out. Making a backup had seemed too disrespectful. Then again, the experiments were always meaningless. He could admit that. Self-flagellation, nothing more. He was only indulging himself. He's meant to be meditating, contemplating, turning his mind to higher matters, and cleansing his spirit of whatever contamination had made him turn against his clan's moral code. He scoffs out loud, the sound echoing in the empty chamber. He isn't going to do that, and he never was. He only has to pass the time. What's one more indulgence? Swallowing a lump in his throat, he sets up a new simulation, quite different from the others.
Simulation initiating.
In the library pavilion, Wu Wuxian works diligently. Wang Ji feels gratified to see that he has taken his error seriously and accepted his punishment with grace. Perhaps there is hope for him yet. Wang Ji finishes his calligraphy practice and decides to switch to reading, but it's hard to keep his eyes on his book. Wei Wuxian is nice to look at when he isn't talking.
"Hi, y'all, Han Wang Ji, what are you looking at?"
Wei Wuxian asks, glancing up at him. Wang Ji's ears get hot, but he decides to brazen it out rather than hide in his book.
"I'm here to keep an eye on you," he says.
Wei Wuxian gives a strange, wry chuckle, seeming suddenly older than his years. Then he stands up, holding out a piece of paper to Wang Ji. "All finished," he says. "This is for you." It's a picture of Wang Ji, but older, with a small boy sitting on his knee. And then, from nowhere, Wang Ji learns something new and impossible, and absolutely, definitely true.
"Wei Ying," he says.
Wei Ying startles at the sound of his name.
Yeah? Yes, second young Master Lan. What is it?
"Wei Ying, you're right. You've been here before."
"Oh!"
Wei Ying sinks to his knees beside Wang Ji's writing desk.
"Oh, thank goodness. Please, please tell me what's going on. I can't keep doing this."
His eyes are bright with unshed tears.
"I'm dead, right? I must be dead for real."
Wang Ji nods, knowing the seriousness of what he's about to say.
"You are. I'm sorry. The knowledge has only just been given to me. You are dead. Since your death, I have been using my sim engine to review my actions during your life to see if I could have saved you. I believe the simulations are somehow feeding back into your mind state. I'm truly sorry if this has been unpleasant for you. It was not meant to happen."
"Wow."
He sits back on his heels, quiet for a moment as he takes in this news.
"That explains a lot, I guess. But why would you put yourself through something like that? That's some pretty intense focus, just for, you know, me."
Lan Zhan considers his answer. Why would he do that? He looks at Wei Ying, and feels again that desire to never stop looking.
"It seems I haven't given myself that information," he says slowly. "But I am not entirely surprised. I am an intense person."
It's not his imagination. Wei Ying shivers.
"I guess you are," he says. "So you, this you, here with me, you don't know what's going to happen?"
Wang Ji sifts through all his strange new knowledge, trying to see into the future before the little slip of future that he knows.
"I do not," he admits. "It seems I've kept it from myself. I wanted to spare myself from bearing the burden."
Wei Ying's eyes are terribly sad.
"Do you know what's going to happen?"
Only a little. I get little flashes of it. Whatever's going on with my mind state must be pretty unstable. Mostly, I just feel like everything that happens is familiar. And sometimes, like while I was working just now, and when I drew the picture, I feel like I can get ahead of it just a little, and do something else.
"What do you mean? Was this different?"
He huffs a laugh. "Oh, we've been here together so many times. Normally I just misbehave and bother you, and then I switch out your book for some porn that I got from Ni Huaisong, and you get furious and slash it to bits." He pauses, laughing. Ha ha, your face! Now just imagine if I'd really done it.
Wang Ji isn't sure what his face is doing.
I would rather not. But this time, you have not done it, and we are talking. Does that mean you are free now to do things as you want to?
Maybe.
Wei Ying stands up, waves his arms around.
Maybe. I think so. Oh, this is good, Lan Zhan. This is very good. Maybe we can make things turn out better this time.
Maybe, Lan Zhan ponders. But, of course, it will still be only a simulation. You will still...
He cuts off. It seems ungracious to say it. Yeah, I guess I'll still be dead, huh? But this feels real to me. Does it feel real to you?
Of course it feels real.
It is real. This is his life.
Yes.
Wei Ying laughs. Okay then. This is real. This is our life. Let's live it. So, they live it. Over the next days, they talk and think a great deal about what to do. They consider running away, trying to simply evade the fate that lies in store for them. But Wei Ying, in the end, rejects the idea.
We know that for the simulation to run, the people in it have to be fully modeled, he argues. That means they're conscious, same as we are. That means they can suffer, and if something bad is coming, I think we're on the hook, you know? Everyone knows when Rohan is preparing to make a move, and I think you and I have a duty to resist him, even if it's not real. I don't mean to sound conceited, but we're too important to sit it out. We have to help our sects. It's real to them.
Wang Ji reluctantly agrees. Wei Ying has other ideas, too.
We should have a secret signal, he says, for when I'm getting a vision of the future. That way, if we're talking to your uncle or something, and I start arguing, you'll know when you have to back me up no matter how crazy I sound.
Wang Ji likes to think that he would always back Wei Ying up, but then he remembers how he felt when Wei Ying argued with his uncle about using resentful energy. So they agree that Wei Ying will press two fingers to his chin when he needs Wang Ji to trust him. They make use of it a number of times, most notably in front of Wang Ji's ancestor, Lan Yi. They work with her to find a new way to suppress her fragment of the yin iron. They don't prevent the war, but they do kill Wen Zhulyu the first time they meet him, planetside in the unclean realm. I'm not sure what that did, Wei Ying admits, using a talisman to burn the corpse to ashes. I kind of think there was a chain of events there that was important. Like, bad for me, but good for the war. I don't know.
If it was bad for you, then it was bad, Wang Ji tells him. The point is for you to survive.
Wei Ying huffs out a sigh, dusting his hands as the wind scatters Wen Zhulu's remains. I guess so. Not sure. A lot of people gonna die either way. He sets two fingers to his chin. Months later, he makes the gesture again. They are encamped on the moon called Nightless, a desolate orb rent with constant tremors and volcanic eruptions due to tidal forces trying to rip it to shreds. Just over the next ridge is the site of a secret Wen mineral extraction facility, crucial to the war effort, which their small force of top-tier cultivators is here to destroy. Wei Ying and Wang Ji are bunking together in a temporary shelter of aluminum and plasteel, hovering above the treacherous rhyolite desert. The cooling system is barely adequate, and they are both wearing only their shorts, waiting out the long hours until the twin suns' brief flirtation with the horizon
when their force will make its move. Wayang, reclining on his camp bed, has two fingers on his chin. "Come over here," he says. Wang Ji goes, powerless to deny him anything. He's been feeling it more each day, this desperate devotion, this terror of failing in their quest. Wayang must live. He must. He settles gingerly on the edge of Wayang's bed, sideways to face him. Wayang reaches for Wang Ji's hand, letting his head fall to rest on his bicep. "Lan Zhan," he says, "will you lie down with me?" So Wang Ji lies down, facing him in the narrow bed. He smells of sweat, sharp and lively in such a barren place. Wang Ji's breath is unsteady. He's thought so much about being this close to Wayang. Closer. He would occupy the same space, if the laws of physics would allow. "I don't think we've ever..." Wayang's hand skims over the muscles of Wang Ji's arm. His eyes flutter shut, and he swallows, leaving the sentence unfinished. "I think we'll regret not. I will. If we don't." Wang Ji finds Wayang's waist, pulls himself closer. Wayang's eyes open, sparking, and then Lan Zhan kisses him. His mouth is cool, his skin damp, sweat slicking instantly between them wherever they touch. It doesn't matter. It's good.
"How do you want to?" Wang Ji asks.
"Like this," Wayang whispers. "Just..." He pushes down his shorts a little. Wang Ji does the same and pushes his body against him. Their cocks slide together, wet and simple and clear, heat building quickly. They kiss. Wang Ji slides his hand down Wayang's plush ass, slippery, and digs his fingers in as deep as they'll go. Two fingers into the clenching heat of him, still hotter than the skin outside. Wayang ruts faster against him, groaning, and Wang Ji can't believe how good it feels, how close this is to everything he's wanted.
"Wow, fuck, Lan Zhan."
Wayang presses his mouth to Wang Ji's neck.
"Want you there. Want your cock there."
Wang Ji was already so close to his first climax, and the filthy words in Wayang's mouth catch like a fishhook in his loins. He gasps and comes hard and suddenly, undone by the thought of it. There's no need to hold back, since his cultivation will let him get hard again whenever he wants to, whenever he wants to fuck Wayang. He groans, pumping out even more slickness between them, and Wayang laughs, gasping. Wang Ji pushes him onto his back and withdraws his fingers just long enough to kneel between his legs, slides his fingers through the mess, and pushes them in again, deeper. He takes Wayang's messy, eager cock in his mouth, sucks it clean, and sucks it more, tongue and fingers working until Wayang is shuddering, begging, his high, needy cries echoing in the small room, out through their thin walls and over the lifeless world. Wayang comes in his mouth, his rim clenching on Wang Ji's fingers, but with a deft needle of spiritual energy, he keeps Wayang's cock from softening. Wayang makes a strangled sound, his heels digging into Wang Ji's back.
"Lan Zhan! How dare you! Why did you learn a trick like that?"
Wang Ji heaves up his body to kiss him, resting on one arm, with his fingers still buried past the second knuckle.
"Invented it," he says, licking sweat from Wayang's neck. "Invented it so I could come over and over, thinking about you."
"Oh shit, Lan Zhan,"
Wei-Ying throws his head back, his body shuddering.
You better fuck me right now if you're gonna say stuff like that. Holy shit.
Yes, Lan Zhan says, pulling out his fingers, hoisting Wei-Ying's knees. He lines up his cock and presses in. They have nothing to ease the way, but their sweat and seed are slick enough. Or if they aren't, Wei-Ying's golden core will protect him from injury. It's tight and hot, and Wei-Ying is alive, alive, alive beneath him, his long limbs caged around him. When Wei-Ying comes again, it's with a shout, and Wang Ji follows quickly, Wei-Ying twitching around him with every pulse. Alive. They kiss and kiss. They drink water together, liters of it. Not cold, but cool, at least. Wang Ji looks up drops that land on Wei-Ying's chest. They fly into battle, with traces of each other still lingering on their skin. They survive. Somehow, they all survive. Jiang Yanli and Jin Zixuan and Nie Mingzhu. Jiang Fengmian falls in battle, and Madame Yu retires to the mountains of her birth. Jin Guangyao endures, a complicated feature on the diplomatic landscape, but Wang Ji and Wei-Ying take measures to ensure that none of that is their problem. As soon as they can, as soon as the Wen remnants are settled and their future secure, they find a secluded spot on the shores of a lake in Yunmeng and build a home with their own hands. A place to just be together and away from the world for a while. Eventually, Wei-Ying feels the itch to travel, and Wang Ji goes with him. One day, passing through Yiling Station, Wei-Ying stops in his tracks and takes hold of Wang Ji's arm. Him, he says, nodding his chin toward a cherub-faced boy, perhaps 8 or 9 years old, who is dragging an indulgent adult by the hand toward a pastry seller. Hmm? He's the one I drew that day. But it's better this way, I'm sure. It's better. Wei-Ying watches the child for a moment with something like longing, but Wang Ji hardly has the time to notice it, because the sight of the child was a golden key that opened a jade box in his mind.
Wei-Ying.
Wei-Ying looks at him, eyebrows raised at the strangeness in his voice.
He is safe.
It takes a moment for Wei-Ying to understand.
Lan Zhan, is he?
Wang Ji presses two fingers to his chin. With that, a shadow lifts from Wei-Ying, a shadow that has been on him for so long, Wang Ji had stopped seeing it, and he smiles, blindingly bright, and throws himself into his husband's arms. They never talk about having a child of their own. It's only simulation, after all. A few weeks before the end, they discuss the future.
I suppose I'll still be dead,
Wei-Ying says, his hair white as new silk, his skin thin and wrinkled like wet paper. The frogs sing all around their little pavilion over the water.
I'm not sure, Wang Ji replies. I'll still have your mind state image. If my guesses are correct, then this, all of this, will be saved.
But, hey, I still really died, right? You grieved for me. What you'll have isn't my soul or my spirit. It's just some data.
I don't know the difference,
Wang Ji says, gazing out over the still water.
But there was something that moved on, I'm sure, Wei-Ying says.
Then what about this one?
Wang Ji's voice is loud in his own ears.
What about you?
Ah.
He sips his tea, hand shaking.
His tremors have been worse lately. I don't know. But, Lanjian, promise me you won't hurt yourself with it anymore. All right? This life has been good. I'd like it to be my last. The sun is nearly down now, the lanterns of their house casting a warm glow in the purple dusk. I promise, says Wang Ji, but may I keep it? Not to use for anything, but just to know, just to remember you. Wei Ying regards him sidelong. Heh, Lanjian, I never took you for such a sentimental old fool. Wang Ji allows himself a wry grin. Wei Ying knows very well that the depths of his sentimentality are limitless. He still has the picture Wei Ying drew of him and Wen Yuan so many years ago, folded up inside an old book, yellow with age. The last thing Wang Ji remembers is lying down beside his Lao Gong in their big bed in the old cottage by the lake. Wei Ying's breathing is slow and even with sleep. In these later years, he has taken to going early to bed, perhaps compensating for all the sleep he scorned in youth. Wang Ji, meanwhile, has discovered insomnia, sitting up sometimes until the dawn sounds begin, the frogs and insects. Wei Ying's breathing is a comfort to him in those hours, the soft, continuing affirmation of his life.
Simulation error.
Wang Ji's eyes flutter open in the stillness of his cell. The back of his neck is hot. It must be a sign of his neural processing unit working hard for a long time. Reflexively, he checks the error log, then gives a strange, strangled laugh. He died. That's all. Wei Ying. Wei Ying was still alive when Wang Ji lay down. They did it. Immortality had not been theirs, but that was all right. Perhaps the simulation had not been up to it. They had known. They had loved each other long and well, and had seen the next generation grow up and flourish and have children of their own. Now, in the cold gray of reality, Wang Ji looks at what he has of Wei Ying, a clean and orderly data structure, smooth as an egg, self-organized and neatly compressed. What is it? Not him. Not really. But something good. Something that will help him face the years ahead. He meditates, and then allows himself to doze. A ping on his personal message system wakes him, the first in many lifetimes. It's a simple calendar notification. His seclusion is over. Shijian will be arriving in his personal yacht to take him back to Terra and the cloud recesses, where he will, where Wen Yuan is, where he has work to do. While he waits for his brother, Wang Ji goes over his sim results one final time, filing away loose pieces and deleting unneeded files. That last run was far from scientific. He knew that going into it. There's no point in analyzing it alongside the many, many, many attempts in which he failed to change the ultimate outcome. Looking at them now, as a group, it's obvious that there was nothing he could have done other than what he did. He always did what he believed was right, his feelings inseparable from his actions. When Shichen sees him, he smiles gently, and offers Wang Ji an embrace, which he accepts. Grief still lies heavy on his shoulders as he squints in the bright lights, as he boards the ship that will take him home. But it's grief that he can bear. It is grief without bitterness, without regret. The End.
reader's notes. I read this fic and I was like, oh, this is the one. I gotta record this one. It is devastating. Good time. I saw your letter and I was like, you have incredible taste. I love it. I need to make something for you. I am making all of my treats in like the week before they are due. So I didn't have that much time in which I was actively looking for stuff, but this was in my bookmarks and I also saw it in your bookmarks and it's good. So I thought you might like it.